Avery rose onto an elbow, took the glass, and drained it with a long, slow sip. Sunday. That was when he and Byrne had ridden a welcome wagon back up to the Tiara and transitioned to Alcigny's sloop, Walk of Shame. The two staff sergeants had been briefed, armed and underway by 0900, hidden in the decoy freighter.
What about Byrne?
He's fine. Had his wound all sewed up by the time we got back. Your corpsman even complimented him on his stitching. Jalon put the pitcher back on the tray. He saved you. Pulled you onto the freighter before the other ship blew up. Avery frowned.
I don't remember that.
What do you remember? The governor asked.
Thune seemed penned in by the room's narrow walls, his formerly jolly bulk now a looming threat.
Take me through your mission, step by step.
Avery furrowed his brow. The room's secure, and you're the only patient in this wing, Jalon explained. Then nodding toward the governor, I've already told him everything I know. Avery reached for a row of buttons embedded in his bed's side rail. Motors whirred, and the bed lifted him to a sitting position. Placing his glass in a nest of sheets that filled his lap, Avery settled into a familiar mode, the cut-and-dried delivery of an after-action report to a superior. But he only got a minute or so in, was just starting to describe the combat with the aliens, when Thune became impatient.
How did they communicate?
He asked, wrapping his large arms across his chest.
Sir?
Thune had begun to sweat. Deep blue splotches were growing around the collar and under the arms of his chambray shirt.
Did you see any comm gear? Notice how they spoke to each other or to their ship?
No, sir, but they were suited up. It was hard to...
We were wondering if they sent a message, Staff Sergeant. Jalon clarified. A distress signal, something we might have missed on your helmet cam.
The leader was out of sight,
Avery said. He remembered the alien's ruby eyes and sharpened teeth, the ball of plasma building on its pistol like a shiny apple.
1-2 minutes tops, but it definitely had time to squawk. And then there was the other alien.
What other alien? Jalon asked eagerly.
Didn't get a good look at it.
Avery recalled something airborne, pink and swollen.
And it didn't engage.
Was it armed?
Thune asked.
Not that I could tell, sir.
So let me get this straight.
Thune scratched his neck below his thick red beard.
4 aliens, maybe 5, armed with knives and pistols.
Their ship had lasers, Governor. Hydrogen fluoride, very accurate. Jalon spread her hands a short distance apart. And it was a small ship. Who knows what they put on their larger vessels?
The ones you killed,
Thune dragged out his words. His tone was arched, provocative.
They seem any tougher than the average insurrectionist?
Sir?
Avery felt a familiar knot tighten in his stomach. What did the innies have to do with this?
4 of them, 2 of you, the governor shrugged his massive shoulders. And you won.
We had the element of surprise, but they were disciplined, demonstrated good tactical thinking.
Avery was about to give a detailed description of how well the aliens had maneuvered in zero-G when the door to his room slid open and Attorney General Peterson slipped inside. I couldn't find an orderly anywhere, he smiled apologetically at Avery.
Not that you're missing anything. Hospital food is the same wherever you go, I'm afraid.
Then to Governor Thune,
anything unexpected?
Thune shot Jalon a dismissive look.
No,
he said firmly. A tense silence filled the room. Avery shifted in his bed. Clearly, his debrief had been an important part of a larger discussion, his answers critical to an argument between Alcigny and Thune. Governor, Jalon said, if we might have a word.
You've been very helpful, Staff Sergeant.
Thune patted Avery's leg through his sheets, then headed for the door.
Enjoy your rest.
Avery sat up as straight as he could, straining his IV.
Thank you, sir.
Jalon followed the governor outside. Peterson pulled the door shut behind them with an odd duck of his head, almost a bow. Avery raised his glass, tossed a few cubes of melting ice past his lips, and began to crunch. The movement of his jaw worsened an ache at the back of his skull.
He reached around and felt a bumpy line, a cauterized incision through which the doctors had injected bone-knitting polymer. Avery could hear Thune's voice rumbling outside the door, but he couldn't make out what he was saying. At first, Jalon's responses were similarly muffled, but the exchange quickly increased in volume, crescendoed with a sharp growl from Thune and conciliatory muttering from Peterson. Avery heard departing footfalls, and a few moments later, Jalon slid back into the room, alone.
"He didn't know," Avery said, "that you were running an op, using the militia as cover."
Jalon crossed her arms behind her back and leaned against the wall beside the door.
"No."
The decision to keep the governor out of the loop had certainly happened way above the lieutenant commander's pay grade, but if Jalon was upset that she'd been left holding the bag, she didn't show it. Her expression was perfectly calm. Avery reached out and placed his empty glass on the cart.
"How many ships is he requesting?"
Jalon waited for him to settle back into bed. "None."
For a moment, the only sound in the room was the low clicking of one of the monitors as it registered a spike in Avery's pulse. "But didn't we just..."
"Make first contact with aliens?"
"With respect, ma'am, the contact wasn't all that friendly. Their weapons were way more sophisticated than ours, and like you said, that was probably just the small stuff."
Jalon nodded. "We threw a sucker punch and won a fist fight."
"They'll be back for another round."
"I know."
"Then why the hell isn't Thune asking for any ships?"
Jalon pushed away from the wall. "Organizing a militia took years of negotiations, required the unanimous approval of Harvest Parliament. A significant percentage of its citizens were against having even a handful of Marines on their planet." Jalon stepped to the foot of Avery's bed. "Thune isn't eager to see how they react to UNSC warships in orbit." Avery remembered the looks on the faces of some of the guests at the solstice celebration, their obvious disdain for him and his uniform.